Defeating Goliath represented for David a significant promotion. It changed the course of his life forever. I didn't have this in my notes today, but I feel compelled to remind someone that God rarely sends to you an invitation in the mail saying, "Heads up, I'm about to send a supernatural opportunity your way. Show up at the battlefield at such and such a time, at such and such a date, and come ready, and if you win, it'll change your life forever." I believe part of being a mighty one is saying yes to mundane tasks and errands. Saying yes to mundane assignments, because the real heart of faith doesn't always need Pastor Joey and the band to lead you to a supernatural moment. The real mighty heart has enough faith, and it believes that no matter where I am and no matter where I need to go, God will lead me to the exact moment that He needs. David said yes to delivering bread and cheese, and the story unfolds as you read it in chapter 17 cinematically. And that as David rides over the hill with his donkey and supplies, he sees the two armies arrayed in battle. And so he leaves his donkey and he runs up to see what's going on like any 16-year-old boy would. David saw something different that day than what the other men of Israel saw. Because the men of Israel, they worked up their courage again for that day. And they aligned themselves in battle. But when they saw Goliath walk out in that valley, what they saw was sudden death waiting for them. What does it say about the nation of Israel that God has to raise up 16-year-old shepherds to run off giants that the king ought to be running off? The scripture says of Saul that he was head and shoulders taller than any man in Israel. What do we do when the people in our lives who should have fought the battles didn't? Oh, what do we do when those who are in authority and the ones who have the resources, what do we do when they should be fighting the battles but they're not? I need to speak to some mighty ones today, and I believe this is something I hear it in my heart anytime I close my eyes to pray. I hear the Holy Spirit saying this: I am raising up people that are going to become what they've never had. Somebody needs to grab a hold of that word and take it for yourself. You may have never had a daddy to show you the way. You may have never had a mama to show you the way. You never had an instructor to teach you. You never had a king to fight for you. But I hear the Lord saying that if you will come into agreement with me by faith, I will cause you to become the thing that you never had. There are some people listening to me today. God is calling you to be a mighty husband and father. He's calling you to be a mighty wife and woman. You say, "Well, I never had one." I'm sorry. Isn't it so good when we reckon and account for the things that we didn't have, that God balances the scales when He calls Himself, "I am that I am"? You didn't have a dad, He'll be your daddy. You didn't have a mom, He'll nurture you like a mother. You didn't have anyone to meet your needs, He'll meet your needs. You didn't have anyone to feed for you and to fight for you, and God says, "I'll do both if you let me." David gets to asking around. I see the problem. The problem's down there in that valley. What happens for the man who kills that giant? What happens? So you want me to jump straight to the punchline, but you're already missing the point. David was asking questions that nobody else was asking. Oh, I need to let somebody know this morning, the reason why you ain't winning the battle is you fighting the wrong battle. And you're fighting the wrong battle because you're asking the wrong question. Some of us have never stopped long enough and looked in the mirror and taken stock and identified what the real problems are. Oh, when you start to identify what the real problem is, you can start asking the right question. And some of you need to go home and start asking this question: what happens if my marriage gets healthy? What happens if I don't pass divorce on to my kids the way it was passed on to me? What happens if I don't pass poverty on to my family the way it was passed on to me? What happens if I don't pass on familial dysfunction and emotional dysfunction the way that it was passed on to me? Oh, what happens if I don't pass on that spirit of stiff, nasty, murdering religion that was passed on to me? What happens for me if I bring freedom and liberty into my life and I pass that on instead of passing on that other bondage stuff that I got deal? Ain't nobody listening to me. What happens if I do make it? What happens if I do become wealthy? What happens if I do become successful? What can happen if God uses me? You need to quit looking at everybody that's running and hiding, and you need to start looking in the mirror and go, what does it mean for me if I win where the other guy lost? You got to start asking the right questions. What happens if I beat that old hairy giant? And he gets the word. Well, you ain't got to pay taxes no more. Everybody in here said, sign me up. Them of us that pay taxes. And some of y'all, you kill Goliath, you're going to have an awkward conversation with Saul's IRS when they say, you ain't got to pay taxes. And you go, well, I hadn't really been paying taxes in 20 years, so. You ain't got to pay taxes, and you get to marry the king's daughter. It's all right. Imagine being 16-year-old. I need some men to help me right here. Imagine being 16-year-old and you get told all you got to do is kill him and you get to marry the woman in the whole nation. She's the one. She got the looks. She got the pedigree. I heard an old country song one time that said, she's got her daddy's money and her mama's good looks. And look who's looking at me. So you can go from being a bastard shepherd boy to being a member of the royal family. You want to talk about a come up? Some of us might need to start wondering and imagining, what would my life look like if I became the thing that daddy and grandpa and great-great-grandpa could never do? Word gets around to the king. There's this David kid. Saul knew who David was. He'd been playing the harp for Saul a little bit. He gets word about this David kid. Just before he presents himself to Saul, he has this conversation with his older brothers. Let's read together in verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when David spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why'd you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence in your heart. You come down here to see a battle. And David says, what I do now, Eliab? Is there not a cause? Here's what he's asking. Is there not a good reason to be asking what happens to the man who kills him? Because last time I checked, Eliab, you wasn't down there. We're all up here hiding, talking about it because nobody's got the courage to go down there and face him. I think Eliab, I have a really good reason to be asking what happens for the man who kills him. Please hear what I'm about to say. If you want to be a giant killer and you want to rewrite your own personal history and correct the trajectory of your family, you can't listen to Big Brother. The Big Brother mentality is rooted in pride that would rather see us all broke than one of us be blessed. It would rather see you fail so he's not embarrassed. And he'd rather point his finger at you and call you insolent because he doesn't have the courage to go face the giant. There's somebody, you need to listen to me. You need to quit measuring yourself and comparing yourself against Big Brother. Didn't take over there. Let me try over here. Some of us, there's a giant that he has got your name on it. And you are the one that God has picked to run that thing off forever. But what you can't do is look in the mirror and go, I'm not handsome enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not well-spoken enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not savvy enough. You need to quit saying I'm too hood or I'm too holler. You need to quit saying I'm not enough and I'm too. You cannot listen to that Big Brother voice that tries to say, where's them few sheep at? I'm just going to preach all by myself this morning. I got my big old sword up here. I'm liable to swing it if you ain't careful. Oh, some of us, you think you're less than because you've been watching just a few sheep. But I need to let you know today, it is those few sheep. They have been preparing you. They have been testing you. They've been getting your heart ready. It doesn't matter the diploma on the wall, whether you got zero or you got 14. It doesn't matter if your bank account is empty or it is full. What I want to know is, are there any mighty ones that you said yes to a few sheep, trusting in His word, trusting in His faithfulness, that He who is faithful with little will be faithful with much. There is somebody I need to talk to today. Don't you jump out of your process. Don't you abandon your few sheep. God is doing something in you. God is getting you ready because it's not about the sheep. It's about what He's been doing in your heart. When you start to catch a whiff that God has called you to be a giant killer, take my advice from experience. You cannot take the word of the Lord to popular committee. There's some people you don't need their approval, you just want their approval. Some of us need to quit looking for the approval and acceptance of men. If you want to be a mighty one in this day and age, I need to let you know, more than likely, you can have the approval of men or you can have the approval of God. Some of us need to choose today. I am done trying to convince. I am done trying to impress people with my accolades. I am done performing. I am done making my life a circus act to entertain those around me. Mama may not like me for it. Daddy may not like me for it. But I'm going to take my staff and I'm going to take my little rocks and I'm going where God tells me I can go. I'm going to say what God tells me I can say. I'm going to do what God has told me I can do. Here is something I have learned, is that the approval of men and the approval of God don't ever align until after the fact. Most people are led by their eyeballs and their ears. They believe it when they see it. Oh, but I believe that God is raising up mighty ones, that they can look at the big hairy giant. But when they look at that giant, they don't hear what brother just said. They hear the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of them saying, if God be for me, who can be against me?